Shall we begin?
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and I'd like to welcome you to a special Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And we're going to celebrate the career of one of the greatest players in the history of women's basketball, a person whose place in the Hall of Fames, all of the Hall of Fames, is inevitable. And I'm pleased to welcome for the first time to the podcast, albeit under these circumstances, Lauren Jackson. Lauren, how are you today?
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. You know, we're here in the States, we're getting ready for the Final Four, and then training camps and the draft are coming, and we're really sorry that we're not going to be able to see you again.
I know. Look, the years that I played in America were the best years of my life, and I will tell everyone forever that, if I didn't play in the WNBA, I would never have become the player that I did. You know, the coaches that I had, each one of them brought different aspects of, my game to me, and made me tougher inside and everything. So, you know, it was the best years of my life, and I regret not being able to go back there.
Well, you know, if anybody has ever put their heart and soul into trying to get ready for, you know, representing their country and continuing to play their career, it's been you. And, from that aspect, you know, you can certainly look back at things with no regrets, you know, and say that you really did everything that you possibly could to get yourself ready.
Okay. In 2012, I stayed home. I got a hamstring injury. I felt like I was in so much pain. And by the time I got back to America, I couldn't. It was horrible. And I got back to Canberra, and I couldn't stay there either. And I kept having surgery on that, and that was fine. So it was like a big problem that something was sticking to the nerve, and it was pinching the nerve, and I couldn't run. I should have just gone straight for the night, and I was being fine. But, you don't know these things. And then, that was sort of April in 2013, or 12, yeah, 13. And then I ended up having a miscarriage. I was pregnant, and I had a miscarriage, so I couldn't come back to the WNBA because it was later. And so that was devastating. But then after that, I tried to get back again to the Ovals and Oceania, and I did. And I went to China, and I hurt my knee, and my knee has kept me out for a very long time. And it's to the point now that I had to retire. I was told I'll never be able to step on a basketball court again.
Well, you know, obviously it's a difficult transition, but you know, let's look forward a little bit. Have you started to weigh your options, consider what it is, what you'd like to do? Have you ever thought about coaching, you know, broadcasting? You know, you're certainly somebody that's, you know, socially aware and out there as an activist, and you have a lot of fame, certainly in Australia in particular, and, you know, using that for, where do you go from here?
Well, I think, you know, this week, you know, obviously I only announced it last week that I was retiring, so this week I'm just sort of taking it easy. It's been hard just to leave the house. I really don't want to talk about it with anybody. I mean, I've done a lot of interviews, and that's enough for me, you know. I don't go into town and talk about my retirement and everything like that. At the moment, I'm still quite... I'm not happy about it, I suppose. I'll finish university, and then I may then do my undergrad in law. I'll get my degree in gender and diversity, and then look to finish my undergrad law degree. I'll never be a lawyer, but I'll use that for whatever I do. But yeah, I'll probably be in media and activist, like, off. With Taking Domestic Violence Services Australia and do my activism and advocate for women, hopefully in some capacity, involved in government roles and things like that.
Sounds fantastic. So let's talk about the career a little bit, you know, and this is the part that gets particularly can be sad, and you tell me if you don't want to talk about anything in particular, but, you know, you were a person that transformed the game, you know, being your size with your mobility, you know, you used your skills both in the WNBA and internationally. You've won championships everywhere. I'd say the biggest impact is making, you know, Basketball Australia and the Opals, you know, relevant to being one of the powers in the world. And, you know, that has continued based on the foundation that you've helped lay.
Yeah, look, I think even before me coming in, there was players like Michelle Timms and Robin Ma and Shelley and Sonia Gorondello, who's actually also playing overseas and playing in the WNBA. Kelly Bevilacqua too, you know, she wasn't in the national team, but she was playing over in America in Portland. Portland Fire, I think they were.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they came to me. I think my, you know, I don't know, I was just going to go to Seattle because the coaches that I had all sort of transformed my game a little bit. And then, you know, I'd come back to Australia and I think they were just blown away by the changes, you know. And when I got my first MVP over there, I don't remember how I played or how I got that. You didn't make the playoffs at all. And, you know, I can't believe I did what I did. And that's just what, you know, looking, I don't think I've had enough time to reflect and understand how good I was. You know what, people keep telling me, but I don't really know what, you know, what I did that was different to anybody else that plays over there. So I was lucky, you know, I was tall and athletic because of my parents genetically.
Well, the genetics help, but the effort certainly that you put in shows too. You know, there's a whole generation now of these posts that people look at and say, well, she's going to be the next Lauren Jackson because of the ability to go inside and out, which has to be one of the greatest, you know, legacies that a player can have is having people compared to you as you go on. But, you know, your time in Seattle, the teams were phenomenal, the championships were great, and the wars with Lisa Leslie were some of the best ones. Whoever got to keep the hair?
I don't know. You know, I heard that she was going into the media section. Like, I just picked up this onion, and I heard that later, cause, you know, people were obviously joking about it, and it was funny. I mean, I didn't mean to do it. There was not one bone in my body that... Well, I didn't even know that she had a hairpiece. How would I know that? And apparently she picked it up and flung it into the media section, and someone in the media has got it and still has it. Like, I don't know. I thought the world was delicious. When I was 16 coming in and, like, my first games against her and everything, I was so intimidated, but I was so in awe of it. Like, I thought she was the most beautiful, glamorous basketball player who was so good, and, you know, she was my idol. And she was so mean to me, you know. But I think something in me, like, just sort of clicked, and I was like, no. I mean, just be intimidated by you and what, like, you mean to me. She was really to me, like, and everything. And, I mean, look, I still think that she is a very beautiful looking person and everything, but, you know, I don't know her as a person, so I can't say. It's funny, we played on All-Star games together and everything, and she, yeah, we've just never really clicked, you know?
It happens. That's for sure. You know, one person that it definitely did click, though, is your relationship with Sue Bird. The two of you together were one of the greatest combinations in the WNBA, and of course the ongoing joke now going in this year is, you know, the last time the Storm had the consecutive number one draft choices was you and Sue, and now after taking Jewel Lloyd last year, it looks like they're going to have Breonna Stewart with the number one pick this year. Have you watched any of the college games or watched Stewart play internationally at all, see any of her game?
I haven't seen her play internationally. I saw her play in the Final Four last year. Truth be told, I've had a couple of beers. But I was watching her very closely, and I thought that she was amazing. I think that she's been phenomenal, and I'm really excited to be able to have her, you know, playing that team. And yeah, Sue, you know, the great thing is that Sue's still playing, and she can teach Brianna Stewart. She can weed Brianna Stewart, and I'm actually going to head over there this year and be a part of the Storm for a couple of weeks, and just, you know, be able to say goodbye to the fans and everything like that. But I really am forward to seeing her, Brianna Stewart, develop, especially with Amanda Sue's leadership, you know.
Because you are the one person that people compare her to, because of her ability to go inside and out. But she's got a ways to go to try and get all of those skills down. You know, you mentioned coming back here and playing in Seattle, and, you know, the fans there are phenomenal, some of the best that I've ever seen, and they just adored you the entire time you were there. And, you know, I'm sure you would like to say a little something to the fans, and, you know, that even before you go there and see them again.
Yeah, no, the fans in Seattle made my time there. The support was just unreal, and, you know, I really can't even articulate how I feel about the fans, but I am going back there to say goodbye to them, and just hopefully I can write a speech and just tell them exactly how I feel in terms of just thanking them for the time and understanding. I mean, I know I haven't been really loud about my knee, and people don't really know what happened, but my knee just turned... Can I swear I'm here or not?
Well, everybody... Well, let me tell you. You know, I think that you mentioned you've been surprised by some of the outpouring of affection and respect that has come to you since you've announced your retirement. I mean, really, I'm surprised that you didn't expect this, you know, because of the way that everybody has, you know, you've had such an impact on the fans and the players of the game.
Yeah, I did not expect it at all. I don't know. I just, you know, I'm this little girl from Albury, you know, in Australia. So I had a great time over there. And I guess because it's been so long since I've been in America, I thought that everyone had forgotten about me, which is fine. I totally understand. And I think, yeah, the affection and the love that I've got via social media and everything, I think that's kind of hardest to deal with. So I really feel sad. Over, and I can't do what I used to do, and so I definitely want to get back to Seattle and say goodbye to the people that have supported me, and Seattle, look at it itself, it was just my favourite place in the world, and, you know, I would have lived there if I had been still playing there, and yeah, it's hard.
Are you the type of person that will watch Rio? Or will you not watch the Olympics?
Oh, look, I think there may be some media opportunities for me to head over there. I'm just waiting to see what happens. But before I announced my retirement, I had said to my parents and a couple of people that I think that I probably just want to be with my mum on the couch so she can cuddle me while I'm crying. I'm really excited about the potential media opportunities and things that might take me over there and still be, not be part of it.
That would be great. No, that would be great. That would, you need to be a part of that, in my opinion. They need to have you there in some capacity. It just wouldn't, you know, it needs closure, and then you being a part of it in some capacity is closure.
Yeah, no, it would be amazing. So I definitely want to be a part of, well, you know, in some part be there. And if the girls need me, you know, I'll always be around.
Well, Lauren, I don't want to keep you any longer. I want to thank you for taking time. It's been my pleasure to talk to you, and it's been my pleasure to enjoy watching your career and just the wars that you have had with so many great players, and there's been just so much outstanding basketball. You know, thank you for everything.
Oh, no, thank you. I had the time of my life in America, and I just hope everybody knows that. The one time I could do that, I'll always look back on and say, then hopefully we'll get back there.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back here and seeing you out in Seattle this year. And looking forward to see what the next chapter brings, because as I said, you've been an activist, you've been a player, you've been a role model, and I'm sure all of that is going to continue in some capacity. The role model aspect of life, you will continue to influence people.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care now.